chapelboro.com. Go there quick and stay a while. Chapelboro.com, more of what you live here for. Now News Talk 1360 WCHL presents Side Dish, hosted by Deborah Miller. Tune in for 30 minutes of tasty talk with culinary aficionados, wine connoisseurs, and more. Side Dish is locally produced by News Talk 1360 WCHL. Now let's get to the tasty talk with Deborah Miller.
Welcome to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller, and I have around my table today, and I'm so excited about this. I hope I don't just like make a blathering idiot out of myself. Welcome, Joe Kwan. Now, you might have heard your name because you are the cellist with the Avett Brothers, but you are also a food blogger. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for driving all the way over here from Durham.
Not a problem.
So, you've just come off tour.
Mm-hmm.
Are you recovered?
Yeah, well rested and recovered. And looking forward to more rest.
Well, how much? No, so when do you go back out? Is it March?
No, we have a few shows in February.
You have a New Year's Eve show?
We have a New Year's Eve show, two. We have one in Chattanooga and one in Greenville, South Carolina.
Well, tickets still available for those?
I'm not sure. I believe Chattanooga might be sold out.
Since you don't have to buy tickets.
Yeah. I never really keep track. Usually get updates, but I haven't really paid attention.
Does your family get to come out, your girlfriend and all that, when you have big, like, a holiday show?
They do. But this year, my friends are all going on a big ski trip, and I told my girlfriend she should probably go.
Oh, so. And would you sort of rather be going? Would you kind of like to go on a ski trip?
I'd love to go on a ski trip. I wish I could do both.
I know.
Because there's nothing like the stage, and there's nothing like going on a big trip with your buddies, you know?
Well, you have a really fascinating history, and I think that's part of what appealed to me when I contacted you on Facebook to get you to come on Side Dish, because in sort of Googling around, I discovered that you have a blog called Taste on Tour. Mm-hmm. And it was easy for me to say, oh, that's perfect. He'd make a perfect Side Dish guest. So it's food on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how that came about.
I guess the whole history behind it and the reason I started it was because of the importance of food in my life.
Uh-huh.
And just seeing what food culture is like in America and kind of wanting to sway it in a direction that I love. The way that I see food is so different from the whole fast food idea. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm all about spending time with friends. Cooking is the most fun part, you know, and then being surrounded by the people you love and eating with them is a great thing. It's about the process, about the people you're with, about the time it takes, not about how quickly you can get in and out.
It is. This is the slow food.
Yeah. And then, of course, it's kind of difficult for me to be slow since I'm always on the move.
Mm-hmm.
And so I figured it would be an interesting idea to document food that I come across regionally or internationally, you know, wherever I am, and write about it. And unfortunately, it's not always easy to get out when I'm on tour and get food because we don't have a car to drive around, but I do what I can.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So you all travel on a bus,
mm-hmm.
and I guess you're not pulling the nice little clown car behind you that y'all can all tool around once you get to town.
No.
I noticed one of the things, I had printed out some stuff I brought in because I think one of the links on your blog was for people to go in and recommend restaurants,
mm-hmm.
in places. Now, do you start that thread, or do you let people just go in and say, well, if you're ever going to be in Knoxville or if you're ever going to be Charlottesville or wherever?
A lot of people just write in and recommend places, especially if I'm coming into an area on tour, they'll let me know.
Have you tried some of these places?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then do you go back in and comment?
I'll usually write about it. And the way that I do my blog is I don't like to be negative about a place because it's so subjective
good.
About what you like. You know, this may be your, you know, childhood memory restaurant. And me saying, oh, it's
hated it.
Food. You know, it doesn't mean anything, you know, because to you it means so much more than it might mean to someone who's just passing through town anyways. But I'll write about it if I could get there and get good photographs with the iPhone, unfortunately. it's made it so easy to just forget my camera everywhere because of that one device. But that's not a bad thing either. But
well, yeah. It is pretty little. I mean, I was without a computer last week and trying to do everything on my Android, I found it a little frustrating because I have not completely given up on some of the bigger technology, bigger pieces of technology in favor of a handheld.
I tried to this year. I tried to give up on big technology. Didn't work.
What about, you know, see, the other thing that you do really beautifully is photography. And there's a link on your blog to pictures that you have taken. And they're really well thought out and well composed. And
thank you.
I know how I am. I brought my camera because I'm planning on taking a picture of while you're here. So I know the difference I feel between the things that I take with my cell phone. Because I'm clicking everywhere. They're just not. It's not the same.
Yeah, I feel like with the phone, it's just one of those things where you're. It's always on you, so it's a great device. I think Annie Leibovitz. I just read something saying that someone asked her what the best camera was, and she said the iPhone.
Really?
Yeah, because it's always on you, and a camera's not worth anything unless it's on you.
That's true.
You know, so unfortunately. My phone's always on me. I'm so sad to admit that.
No.
But I wish I could bring my nice camera with me everywhere I go, but not always possible.
Well, so I want to back up a little bit, and we sort of jumped ahead, and you were, and we're going to have to go to break here shortly, but you were born in Korea and moved to the United States when you were
one.
One. Mm-hmm. Where did y'all move to?
Archdale, North Carolina.
Where is Archdale, North Carolina, for the uninitiated?
It is on the eastern side of High Point.
Okay.
So it's down Main Street, and if you keep going down Main Street, then you'll eventually run into Archdale, North Carolina.
Interesting. And so I understand that you started out playing piano?
At age very early. I can't remember exactly. I believe it was around three. My mother tried to teach me piano. And I say tried because it lasted probably all of a week, maybe. And I just was too young.
How old were you when you picked up a cello? I mean, you had to be old enough to hold it, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, oddly enough, kids start early on cello, but I was pretty late. Considering how early some kids start, I was nine.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't my choice at all.
It wasn't.
No. my mom woke me up from a nap and took me to this lady's house and just dropped me off and was like, you're playing cello. And I was like,
well, that's a little scary.
Yeah, but you know, it was amazing because I knew, like, after that first lesson, I knew I wanted to play the cello. It was that perfect for
Well, hold that thought because we're going to have to go to break. We are talking with Joe Kwan. We're going to come back and talk about more Taste on Tour and more cello and music and all that good stuff. You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360. Don't go away.
We now return to Side Dish, News Talk 1360 WCHL's locally produced program dedicated to all things food. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller. I have around my table today Joe Kwan, who is Taste on Tour blogger, and you are blogging on tour because you're cellist with Avett Brothers, one of my favorite groups. But let's back up a little bit. We were Korea, you moved here when you were young, one, and you picked up, a cello was put into your hands at what, age eight, right?
Nine.
Mm-hmm. And it was purely classical.
Yep, purely classical.
And you were saying you didn't listen to much else?
No, I mean, my parents were very adamant about me listening to classical music constantly. I guess the only non-classical I ever did listen to, now that I think about it, would have been Christmas albums. But they were like Bing Crosby or Nat King Cole. They were never popular, you know, modern day Christmas albums. You know, oddly enough, I would hear what my sisters listened to. Paula Abdul, you know, like I would hear them playing that stuff, but I didn't actively, you know, listen to that. to popular music.
So do you still play classical? I mean, in keeping your chops up, do you?
I do. And I would say I went away from it for a couple years. And then just recently I started to practice classical again, because it's amazing how much more, difficult it is in terms of the types of patterns you play. Just mm-hmm. don't make nearly as much sense because they're not in your ear, mostly. They're just odd.
Well, so how hard was that segue from classical into, I mean, let me just say, I've not been lucky enough to see the band in concert. I've had to suffice with YouTube videos and seeing y'all on TV. You're a freaking madman with a bow. I mean, you can shred a bow.
I try not to.
But I've seen videos of you doing it. That had to be an interesting transfer from.
Yeah, I would have to say I'm not anywhere near being done.
Well, no, I would hope not.
Far from being away from the grasp of classical music, and in terms of its rigidity and playing by sight, looking at a piece of paper and knowing what notes to play is different from that and playing by ear, based on what everyone else around you is playing. Similar in a lot of ways. You can't just shut yourself out from everyone else when you're playing classical music, because you have to listen as well. But when you're playing show after show, and every night is different, I never play the same notes in tune or out of tune. They're always different.
Every night. And is that intentional?
Yeah, mostly because I'm not a good enough musician to play it the same every night.
I don't know.
I think it's out of necessity, out of my lack of skill.
You don't look like your lack of skill.
Well, that's good.
But you know what? Here's the thing. I think every concert I've ever heard, not live, let me just qualify, I've heard a lot of renditions of different songs. Mm-hmm. They all are different. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that makes the band unique. Mm-hmm. And there's always something a little bit different, so you never really quite know what you're going to get to hear.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a good thing.
That's a very good thing. Good thing for us, too. Well, it keeps it very fresh. You never know what's going to go wrong.
And the band doesn't let you sing. Is that correct?
I don't want to sing.
So you're a better cook than you are a singer.
Yes. Not great at either.
No, I don't know. Did you cook Korean food?
Yes. Just because that's what I grew up with.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
And did you sort of stand at the stove with your...
Oh, yeah. Still do.
You do? Still? Yeah. With your grandmother? Or your mom?
My mother, yeah. Both my grandmothers have passed away at this point, but my mom still cooks all the time. And I still call her when I need advice on how to make a very traditional dish.
Any good Korean restaurants around here?
No. Oh, I mean...
Whoops. Well, I've looked. I mean, I lived in D.C. At least everywhere I've ever lived has been at least one decent mm-hmm. Korean restaurant. And I think Korean was actually my first... Asian mm-hmm. ethnic food.
Oh,
we had a Korean student that lived with us.
Yeah.
And when we brought his wife over, she was going to thank us and cooked us a Korean meal. And
that's awesome.
It was wonderful.
That's great.
Yeah.
My one big problem with Korean restaurants is they're always overpriced. I don't know where the prices
What's up
come
with
from
that?
Because growing up, knowing what goes into these, I'm like, there's no way that this dish is going to be $12. I mean, it's going to be like $4.
$4, yeah.
Because I know what goes into it. And so when I get to a Korean restaurant and I pay, whatever amount of money it is for a dish, it doesn't ever taste as good because I've already tainted it with the amount of money that I'm paying for it.
Well, so you took this classical path and then you worked for IBM. Were you a techie guy?
I was a IT specialist / network consultant.
And so we were talking during the break or before we started. You actually went to UNC.
Yep.
And majored in computer sciences.
Yep. I was a music minor, computer science major.
So when your first band, who was that?
First unofficial band was in high school as a funny talent show thing. But my first real band was Big Pretty and the Red Rockets, just out of college. Yeah.
And then how many after that?
That I got in with the Avett Brothers was because I started playing with Bob Crawford of the Avett Brothers and his side project, New Jersey Transient. So I was technically part of that for a brief moment, and then was brought on by Bob.
It's a great story. You were in Winston-Salem.
Yeah.
You heard that he was playing, were playing.
The Avetts were playing.
And you decided to run over and see their set.
Yep. Yeah. Too cheap to pay. It was an outdoor concert. We were like, it's $5 to get in.
Yeah.
I was like, why don't we just listen from 2 feet further away?
And did you? Or did you pay?
Oh, yeah. Oh no, we listened and was just really blown away by their energy, you know. I think it really affected our set that night.
And then he showed up at your set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oddly enough.
Did that make you nervous?
We were more starstruck more than anything else. We were like, that's Bob, you know.
So did you audition?
No. I was really brought on because the band was growing and they were recording this album, Emotionalism, and they needed a cello player. And
you're like, hey, I'm a cello player.
Well, Bob was like, oh, I know this cello player. You know, he plays in the New Jersey Transient with me, and New Jersey Transient opened for the Avetts in Rocky Mount. And Scott and Seth approached me after that and went into the studio shortly after.
Well, we're going to have to go to break again. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Joe Kwan, Taste on Tour, the Avett Brothers. What is the web address of the blog?
Oh, it's tasteontour.com.
And I noticed you had updated it not so long ago.
Not too long ago.
You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
We now return to Side Dish, News Talk 1360 WCHL's locally produced program dedicated to all things food. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller. I have around my table today Joe Kwan, Taste on Tour. So you're awfully busy. When do you find time to post?
I find time to post because we're busy for a few hours a day, and the rest of the time I'm in a bus driving down the road.
So is there Wi-Fi on the bus?
Yes. There's just cellular connection.
Ooh.
You know, but the blogging is easier, again, because of our iDevices. Makes it a little bit easier to write because you don't need your computer as much. Quick posts are easy because you just go straight from your phone to the blog. I will say I am not the most diligent writer in the world. So sorry, advertisers. I should be. There's a lot more time that I could utilize better, but a lot of times recently I've been using my off time to practice classical.
Well, that's good. So do you practice on the bus? Do
not
y'all
on
play
the
on the bus?
Sometimes. It's usually a special occasion when that happens. It's usually, you know, we're having fun, just joking around.
Uh-huh.
But I generally don't bring my cello on the bus because it's so big. There's not that much space. It's like living on a submarine.
Yep.
You don't really want to mess with people's lives anymore than you're already messing with.
Well, so you're writing with your thumbs, basically.
A lot of times, yeah.
Can't you get little keyboards that plug in? And
it's one more thing to carry.
Yeah. One of those little fold-up ones? I could never segue. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. I'm not going to say never, but into doing all the writing that I do, I could not do that all on a...
For full posts, I can't do it. But I'm talking about these little, you know, look what I saw, you got to try this dish, you know, type of posts where I write maybe, you know, 20 words at most. Those are easy with your thumbs. But when you're writing, you know, 4-page blog posts, you can't...
So let's just see if anything comes to mind. One of the best backstage food presentations that you can think of.
Best, most memorable that just struck my head was Terra Nova, which is a agricultural high school in Portland, Oregon. We played a fundraiser for them, and they catered our meal that night from all the food that they grew, and all the kids from the high school cooked. Best, freshest everything you've ever had before.
So did you write about that? Have I just not...
There was a newspaper article about it. I didn't...
There was. Yeah. Well, you should. How long ago was that? Too long to blog?
2 years ago.
Probably. Okay.
I blog stuff that it's much longer than 2 years
ago. Oh, you do? I do too.
Because, you know, there's no reason that, especially if I forget and I go through my photo archives and I'm like, oh my God, I didn't ever write about this meal and it was so good, like so vivid in my mind looking at these pictures. And so I have to write about it at that point.
Was y'all's rider crazy?
No, super easy. You know, there's really nothing weird on it. And it's so sad that there's nothing bizarre on it.
Well, I don't know, because...
I just want to tell people that there is.
When I worked for Warner Brothers and I had to work with, I'm sure, no brown M&Ms.
Yeah, yeah.
There were actually people who sat around and picked out the brown M&Ms for Van Halen.
I wish we did. Just so we could say we did.
Well, you could think of something.
We're easy.
So you're going back out. Mm-hmm. When did you say March? You got some
February. A couple shows in February and then a few shows in March.
How long will y'all be gone?
February, I think it's like four or five shows. In March, it's like 7 or 8, something like that. 9, 12, I don't know.
Well, I hope you'll come back and talk to me again sometime.
Anytime.
I'm going to stay in touch because one of these days I'm going to come see y'all.
Please do.
Thank you, Jaquan.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360.
Thanks for listening to Side Dish. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Side Dish is an exclusive broadcast of News Talk 1360, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's News Talk and Tar Heel Station.